Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Comic Book Club! You may have an army, but we have a Pete and a Justin.
Yeah! Woo-hoo. Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And of course, keep it going for our announcer, Kenny Cords.
Kenny Farmer is his name.
He's known as Kenny Cords on the show because he has vocal cords that he uses to announce.
Do you want him to not volunteer his time to help us out?
Kenny Cords is his anointed nickname, if I remember. Yeah,
he's very into that.
He's got the Twitter feed, I'm sure, and he's developed.
No, he's shaking his head.
Okay,
nope,
well, he should work on it. So welcome to the show, guys. Obviously, a big week. Every week's a big week in the comic book world.
Pete, yeah, every week.
Slipped into winter here in New York, and so Pete, of course, put on his Punisher slip.
That's right. It's the time of year.
It's time to gather around the hearth and listen to a tale.
Yep.
Pete's life in the Punisher slippers. What's the craziest thing you've done in those slippers?
A murdered
one man.
I don't want to get into the specifics because I don't want to get arrested. But
pending trial.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. Okay. Say no more. That's enough. Some news coming out of Twitter. Actually, Jordan D. White.
I'm familiar with him.
Great friend of the show and Marvel editor. We struck upon the idea to next Christmas do a very faithful live version of the Star Wars Christmas special.
Oh, my God.
Live stage version. You have live actors playing all the characters. We do all the commercials. What do you guys say?
Wow.
Into that?
That is amazing.
For you listeners at home, please give us your vote. Tell us we should do it because we're actually going to start planning it now.
Wow.
And then I think 1 year to the day from when we decided to do it, we're going to produce a full-on live stage version of the Star Wars Christmas special. How fun is that?
Who are you going to play?
I would assume Han Solo. I don't know.
What? Why would you assume that?
Okay, I'll do Leia. I'll do a couple different roles. Who would you want? Well, you're obviously a Chewie.
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, you're into it. Why? Who else did you want to play?
I was going to say Luke Skywalker for you because you're annoying.
Annoying?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, that's an insult and sort of mean to an icon.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Wow, how dare you. How dare you take down all the things we love so much. So tell us, we should continue to do this, and we will do it in 1 year from now. So that's your Christmas present, or holiday present, because that's where we talk about stuff. But without further ado, speaking of holiday presents, let's welcome out our guest.
Yeah.
Very excited to have him. He's been on the show a few times before, but maybe not for a bit. Please welcome to stage Mr. Vito Del Sante.
Yeah. Welcome to the show, sir.
Yeah.
So glad that you could join us.
Thank you for coming.
Please have a seat.
Thank you, everyone.
Grab a microphone. Grab a tasty beverage.
If I might suggest something for the holiday special.
Great.
Yep.
You have to call Dean Haspiel up to do B. Arthur.
That's a great call.
I don't know if this is public knowledge, but he does pull it out every now and again. He's got a picture of B. Arthur that he carries with him everywhere.
Wow.
Everywhere?
Everywhere.
Wait, in his wallet? Like as if it was a mother or child?
Yeah. Sort of. I won't give away all the details, but yeah. Like, there was someone that did a painting of a nude B. Arthur.
Yes.
And he wanted to bid on it.
I'm familiar with
that. Like, he was serious. He wanted to bid on it.
Oh,
so
great.
I think you could do worse than Dean Haspiel.
I think that would be a lifelong dream and a sexual fetish come true for him.
For him.
Which is great. I said for him, not for you. You're very...
Let's leave it...
Your fetishes involve other golden girls.
When he... Oh, yeah. Rue McClanahan was kind
of
hot.
Yeah, no, that's totally all of them.
But yeah, you know, don't judge. You know, you might have the fetish after he does it, so.
Yeah. Wow, that's
a
hell of a claim.
That good.
I can't believe it, but I have a fetish for Dean Haspiel dressed as B. Arthur. The most complicated fetish to ever execute. But hey, that's me. I'm
Stranger
perverted.
Yeah, you are.
I'm a pervert.
Dude.
So, Vito. You've been busy.
Yeah.
You have a comic that you've been working very hard on, a Kickstarter campaign for a comic called Stray.
Yeah.
Round of applause for that.
Yeah,
come on, give it up. Very cool book. Here it is in its paper form.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Well, it ended about a year and a week ago, actually. So we did it during October of... It's 2014, right? So 2013.
Mm-hmm. Most people ask the day, but you ask the year.
Oh, yeah. It all blurs. And, you know, we did really well. We had a publisher attached to it that unfortunately couldn't do the book, and so Action Lab Entertainment swooped in, and they said, we'll do it gladly, you know. There was a little bit of a kind of negotiations to go on to make it happen with Action Lab, and it was basically that they have a character by the name of Midnight Tiger that's done by Ray Anthony Height, and they were afraid that there would be brand confusion. That because they kind of look similar. One is a dog, one is a cat, but they have dark costumes. You know, there's, you know, some similar motifs. They were afraid that there would be some confusion as far as fans buying it. So what they did was they called up Ray. And Ray and I have been friends for about 10 years. And this is the fun this is the fun part of it. We had always, and because we've been friends so long, we had always said that when we do our superhero book, no matter what publisher we're with, it happens in the same universe. So we were going to have Easter eggs. We were going to have crossovers and stuff. No matter what publisher we were with, if I was with Image, he was with Oni, they were in the same universe, you know, in that respect. So
it's a pact.
You know.
It's like a Thelma and Louise style pact.
We were going down together, So they called him up and they said, hey, you know, I'm sure you're aware of this book. You know, you guys are friends. What do you think about it? He's like, you guys would be stupid if you didn't pick it up.
Nice.
And so they called me the next day. They said, all right, we're in. So we just...
weren't, apparently dogs and cats are different animals.
What
I think we're covered on that.
Yeah, yeah. And what actually how he sold it to them was, and I know that doesn't seem this way, but it does, you know, when you think about it. He said, well, Marvel has Spider-Man and Daredevil. No one's ever confused either one of them. You know, and they both, you know, both wear red, both have, you know, like the tight outfit and stuff. So, I mean, he's right. You know, there is... no brand confusion between Daredevil and Spider-Man. So.
That is their defining qualities, is their tight outfits.
Yes, tight red outfits.
They are so tight.
So
too tight.
So they were into it, and we've just been putting the book together all year. You know, the artist Sean Isaacs is based out of South Africa. So we've just been going back and forth, just putting it together. We funded one issue, and when the other publisher dropped out, one of the greatest... You just got married...
Certainly. So,
I wish this for you.
Oh, shit.
Oh, boy.
This could get crazy. He could say anything right now.
So so that was January 1st that the other publisher dropped out. My wife turned to me and said, no, this is unacceptable. We're making this book.
Wow.
So my wife, who works in the medical industry, she just said, we're going to pay for it. We're going to pay for the page rates. We're going to pay for everything. And we're going to make this book happen.
Wow.
And her purpose was, you know, she's seen it from... an idea in my head to the script that she read and proofread and stuff. And then we had an artist. That artist didn't work out. We had to get another artist. She saw his designs. She saw this book. It's literally like having a kid.
Yeah.
So she saw this book really be born.
Right.
And she was not going to let this kid not go to college. You know, in a sense, you know.
It's a great analogy.
So
my wife would have said, no, we have to get this book done. What did you say your name was again?
Yeah. But no, so she's been super supportive, and
that's amazing.
We've pretty much, you know, scrimped and saved and put together all the money we could, and you know we've gotten. I think the book looks as good as anything out there. I mean,
it definitely does.
I mean, the Kickstarter edition has a Stefan Rue cover. The Action Lab editions will have covers by Chris Cross, Kari Randolph, Mike Norton, Julian Lopez, who did my Superman book.
Yeah, yeah,
you guys might remember. So it looks as good. I think it looks as good as anything Marvel and DC put out. Sorry. But
no insult. That's but, great. It's okay to be at the table.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that it reads as well as any of the output.
Well, give us the elevator pitch.
The pitch is basically...
Told us about the birth. Describe the child.
Well, you know, when a man loves a woman...
Yeah.
No.
Don't spoil it. Pete doesn't know.
Oh, I'm sorry, Pete.
Pete doesn't know the end.
So...
Well, it's only foreplay for Pete. He's great at it, though. You
Where did
see
this
it.
Show just go? It's about a sidekick who quits being a sidekick after, like, when he's 15. And for 4 years, he's kind of off the scene, and he's kind of been doing some not-so-nice things.
Yeah.
He's not a very good person, but he really is. You know, like internally, he is. And
he's trying to make ends meet.
What's that?
Trying to make ends meet?
Yeah, yeah. You know, and some of the ways that he makes ends meet are not what you think are heroic. So his mentor gets killed, and he has to make the decision of whether this is important to him. What does he want to do about it? Does he want to solve this murder? Does he want to take over his mentor's mantle? Mm. Does he want to be his own man? You know, it's a lot about identity. It's a lot about the choices that we make and how they make us who we are. But it's also in a very real way, it's kind of semi-autobiographical.
Oh, shit.
In that it's basically how I dealt with my father's death. And I've made no secret about this. It's about some of the drug use that I had, you know, during coping with my father's death.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is in there, you know. So it's a very real book. I think it's unlike a lot of books that are out there. I wouldn't say that it's uplifting, and I wouldn't say that it's like, you know, inspirational, but I think you can get that out of it.
Well, what I like about it is it moves through the story beats. Like so many first issues you read, it's like, yep, we get this. We've read comic book before. We know how an origin works. This moves through it very quickly. It's like, these are the characters. You know these characters already. Right. Here's the unique spin on them, and here's the story propels forward to the point where it's like, boom, here we are.
A lot happens in the first issue. Yeah. It's pretty awesome. Awesome. It catches you up to speed fast. It doesn't insult you with the tropes. It gives you the room to kind of take everything in and kind of sit with it and put some things together yourself. And, yeah, it's
great. The way I put it is, thank you, DC, for 75 years of hard work. Because we do use some of those archetypes, especially the DC archetypes.
Mm. Yeah.
There is a Superman-type character. There is a Batman-type character, you know, and this is a sidekick. So he ostensibly is a Nightwing, Robin-type character.
Right, right.
So because you have those 75 years of history that we all know from...
That has recently been basically erased.
Yeah, yes. No, yeah. But we still know them. Yeah. You know, like, we still... I mean, they still...
No, it erased that in my mind, too.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was scared. But because those things exist already, and because we're all relatively familiar with all that, a lot of the heavy lifting is done by that. You can fill in the blanks, basically, when you see a character that looks like the question, and you go, okay, well, that guy must be kind of like a conspiracy nut or something. And then you just run with it, you know. And the same thing with, you know, with Rodney, who is the Rottweiler when he's a kid and Stray when he gets older.
Yeah.
You know, you get the idea that, all right, well, this is the Robin character. This is the sidekick. This is the, this must be his father or his, you know, his father figure. That must be the Batman. So you get the idea of who.
I really thought you were pointing at a person there.
Yeah, yeah. I also looked too.
Yeah, you pointed at him and he was like,
oh,
no.
Oh, my God.
Does he not look like Batman?
Yeah, no. He's sort of the Batman of our show.
but you know, all that heavy lifting is done for the reader. And like you said, it does move relatively quickly.
It's great.
But I think, you know, you can waste a lot of time doing all the backstory and the history and stuff and lose what's important. There was a point where when I wrote this originally, it was going to be just cameo fest of all these, oh, look at the cool creation I made up, this cool character.
Yeah.
And then you lose what's special about the main character.
Right.
So you have to kind of just dump it and just go with, well, what's his story?
Right, right.
So,
very cool.
Yeah.
It's a great book, definitely.
Yeah, I really liked it.
How can people get their hands on it?
Well, four lucky people today are going to get it when we choose the audience questions.
Right. Well, that's great for anyone else who's here or listening. And they get their hands on it. Because I feel like he's pretty much promoted toward those people. He's got those people covered.
Yes, yes. You can pre-order it today. Anyone listening to this right now can pre-order it at their local comic shop. The order code is November 14, 0915 for the Mike Norton cover. And Mike Norton, you might know from Battle Pug or from Revival. You know, he did the regular cover.
Yeah.
And Kari Randolph's cover is November 14, 0916. And that's limited to 1,500 copies. And I don't know if you can see it, but there's a preview of that right there.
Yeah, it's very
cool.
And
it's very Sin City-ish, you know. It's one of the coolest things I've ever seen, so... So those are available for pre-order right this month right now. So it'll come out January 28th is the street date. So you pre-order it now, it'll be in your hands. And, I mean, I sound like a preacher or something, but I have to stress, you have to pre-order these books. Like, anything that's not Marvel, DC, Image, Dark Horse, Boom even, you have to pre-order because...
Even Boom.
There's no guarantee that a store will carry these books unless you ask for it.
Right.
You know, like if you say, give me one, they might carry two. You know, but if you don't go to the store and if you don't say, I want one, they will carry exactly zero. So it's important that you pre-order these books, whether it be my book or anybody's book that's independently published, you know, like. pre-orders are the lifeblood of these books.
So get out there, talk to your local comic shop, even if the person behind the counter is a weirdo.
Yeah, they're not that scary, actually.
They're not that scary. They just want to be talked to. So strike up a conversation. And in the meantime, let's turn it over to our next section, which we like to call the Stat.
Yeah. All right.
In the stack, we listen to pop music from the 80s and 90s.
Hungry Like the Wolf.
Hungry Like the Wolf.
Nice.
And we talk about three comics that came out this week and go to bat for them. The first of which is Pete's pick, Batman number 36.
Yeah, little known comic.
An underground book funded by Kickstarter, called Batman.
Yeah, guys, get out and support this book. It's on its last legs.
You forgot to pre-order this.
There's none in stores.
Snyder needs us.
Yeah,
exactly.
Scott Snyder needs the hit.
But I really feel like this issue is like really getting back to the stuff that I love that Scott Snyder is doing.
Tell us what happens in it.
Well, it starts off.
It's not even Batman on the cover. It's Superman.
Yeah. Then the reason for that is Batman is fighting Superman in this issue.
Oh, geez.
That's how it starts.
Coming soon from DC Movies Central.
Yeah. I just thought this was like an amazingly just solid issue from start to finish. We start with the Batman Superman fight, and then we kind of end with the entrance of the Joker. And
Joker.
What an entrance it is!
The man behind it all.
Yeah, it was so great. It was like I was realizing it like a half a step before Batman, and I was like, no. It was crazy. I thought it was really, really well done.
One step ahead of Batman. What a great place
Which
to
is
be.
Rare. Rare now, to be one step ahead.
Now tell me, Pete, does the Joker scare you?
Yes.
In general, he scares you.
Yeah. Clowns are scary,
Comics are scary. Terrifying.
That's the truth.
Yeah, we encounter them on a weekly or daily basis.
Yeah.
And they're terrifying.
And, and the Joker is kind of like the scariest of all. So, he's one of the great villains.
Unrelated question, are you scared of regular clowns?
Yes, I am. They freak me out.
Well, that helps.
Yeah.
This book is very good. Are you reading this, Vito?
Yeah, I what's funny is I had dropped, not because I didn't like the team. I think they do a great job, but during Zero Year, it just seemed to go on a little bit longer.
It did go on a little bit
longer than I wanted to. And then just tonight, I actually picked it up, part one and part two of Endgame, just because I keep hearing everybody saying, oh, it's back to being Batman.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that it wasn't Batman before, but I mean, there's a idea of what Batman comics are, and when someone said it's back to being Batman, I was like, all right, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
And this wasn't actually a fun issue. Like, I mean, it's fun. That's the best part about
it.
Yeah, Batman has to fight Superman. He has a bunch of, like, different kryptonites that he punches him with, which is great. That's sort of what we want all deep down. Yeah.
It was great because, like, the dialogue of, like, him realizing this isn't like when he normally fights like Batman because Superman's taken over by the Joker. And so like it's no holds bar like Superman, like evil Superman.
Yeah.
So like Batman's trying to pull punches and it doesn't work out well for him.
Yeah, you can't pull those punches.
Yeah.
And then when he meets the Joker, I think Greg Capullo's art is amazing in this.
Yeah.
This issue specifically, the different angles on the panels he chooses and everything, it's like a cool, terrifying indie film inside of a blockbuster.
He is definitely born to draw Batman. And I don't know who's going to draw it after him. But I think Greg... I've been saying it since he took over on Spawn, that like, why can't we see this guy on DC Comics? And I know he did Marvel Comics for a little bit. He did an X-Men run.
He draws a great cape.
But it's nothing like this. Like, this is just... His artwork has, from those X-Men issues to now, has just leaped. You think it's two different people.
And maybe it is. And a lot of people think that it is. It's just a bunch of different people. And the backup is actually very good as well. Sort of a slower, more thriller-style, terrifying look at the Joker and some Arkham Asylum escapees that are hanging with him and have been fucked up by him.
And, you know, for somebody that's 41 years old and read Batman in the 80s, Graham Nolan doing Batman again is just...
Right.
It's just great for me. You know, I love Graham Nolan. Yeah, Graham Nolan, Norm Breyfogle, these are guys that, like, I grew up on reading Batman, you know? So, like, it's great to see him back kind of doing the same thing he used to do. He doesn't even look like he used to. Like, his artwork looks totally different.
Everybody's grown up.
Everybody changes.
Yeah, I think that's the real lesson here, guys. Are you guys reading Batman out there? Are you loving it?
Yeah, all right.
All along. Great.
Lies! I'm kidding.
And that's when Vito turned. And let's move on to another book called Copperhead, number 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
middling maybe, response from the crowd.
Maybe we shouldn't talk about it.
They need to be convinced.
From Image Comics, that's not a problem. This book is very good. It is, let me just read some of the people who have gone to bat for this book, who you definitely know and love. Where is it written? Oh, this is not in here at all. Anyway, a bunch of people love this book in addition to a couple of pals up here. It's not written here. It's a Western in space. And I know what you're thinking.
Classic scenario.
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking Star Wars.
Nope.
You're thinking Star Wars Christmas special.
Nope.
Live 1 year from tonight.
No, I'm thinking Clint Eastwood in space. I don't know if I believe it.
Okay, a very old man in space.
Yeah.
You're talking about Interstellar.
Serenity, maybe?
Serenity. So what we have here is a book, a mother and son land on a planet that is sort of a mess.
Right.
She's the new sheriff in town. There's some crimes going on.
Would you say it's a one-horse town?
You could say that. All right. Mean, horses have been extinct for millennia, perhaps, in this. Okay. But
do they have, like, metal horses or, like...
Like Galaxy Rangers?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
See, I know my audience.
Pretty quick to respond. Showing your age a little bit, but I did watch that show.
Yeah.
And that was very good.
What do they have for horses?
They ride spaceships, tiny spaceships.
Oh, okay, all right, that makes
but
sense.
But what is a horse but a small spaceship?
Wow.
When you think about it.
That's
I don't know
true.
About that.
You know?
Yeah.
Have you ever ridden a horse?
Yeah, yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
What happened? Why, what happened?
Seriously?
The best setup in the world is I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I know.
What
exactly.
happened?
What are you hoping? Have you ever said I don't want to talk about it? And I was like, okay, moving on then.
I'm still hoping.
I'll respect your boundaries.
So
people,
I went to camp as a kid, and it was an awful time. No, it wasn't a horse camp. It was just a regular camp. But they did have horses there, but you had to pay extra, which I wasn't a wealthy child. So
you're already losing money. That's why you didn't like the horses.
So, but I had such a bad time. The kids picked on me so much that the counselor felt bad for me and said, I'll give you a free horseback riding lesson.
That's great.
And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I wasn't too excited because, you know, as a little kid, you're kind of scared of horses. They seem so giant and large, right? Huh.
Cowboys aren't.
Yeah. So for my free horseback riding lesson, the counselor, the kid who runs it, was told he had to do one more ride, which he wasn't happy about. So he didn't put my saddle on properly. So as we're riding down the trail, I start to slowly slide. And then I'm hanging on to the belly of this large beast for my life.
See, to me, that sounds amazing. Yeah. That sounds like a fun cartoon.
No, no. And so I dropped to the ground and quickly curled up into the ball. And the horse luckily jumped over me. I thought I was going to get, you know, hoofed to death.
Hooved.
Yeah. And
Pete LePage, hooved.
Hooved to death. That's hooved. What it would read on my tombstone. And so the horse ran away, and the guy came over and yelled at me for losing the horse.
Wow.
Yeah.
That does sound like a real bad
Yeah, and
Western.
Then 2 hours later, my parents came and got me, and I yelled at both of them. For
Even as a child, you were yelling at your parents.
Yeah.
Yelling at any of
anyone who would listen.
So you scolded your parents for even letting you be there?
Yep.
Great.
Justified.
Yeah, justified.
Yep.
Many children dream of riding a horse.
But Copperhead is done by Jay Farber, who's a fan. Do you like that?
That's what I call a transition right there. This guy knows. He's like, with all that in mind, Copperhead is...
I don't care about Pete's pain. Copperhead.
Yeah.
Copperhead is done by Jay Farber, who did Noble Causes. He did Dynamo 5. He's a great writer. Like, absolutely fantastic writer. And you should give it a shot. I mean, it's not Serenity. It's not Star Trek. It's not Star Wars. I don't know what to describe it as, and that's probably the best thing you could say.
Yeah, it's very new. It seems like a mashup of two genres that we've seen before, but in a way where the characters just are so strong.
Right.
And the world, you're just seamlessly sort of move into it. Like, it's a great book.
The art's amazing. The writing is great. It's a fantastic issue. It does remind me some of the characters in Invincible.
Yeah.
The guys with the one eyes, you know. The
I can see that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the art is, I guess, sort of Invincible-esque, one might say, in a good way.
Yeah.
But it's a very good book. I definitely recommend picking it up. And there are no snakes involved in the making of the comic. So have no fear. Let's move on to one more book here. We have The Fade Out, number 3, also from Image Comics.
Phenomenal. People like this one.
I won't even touch it.
Oh, my goodness, that book. Come on.
You're a reader of The Fade
Out. Ed Brubaker could take pictures of his bowel movements, and I'll read it.
Oh, wow. You don't even have to
read
that.
That's a challenge to Brube, man.
Yeah.
Like, go ahead. Take
Gauntlet.
No, I mean, anything. He writes exactly what I want to read.
So you want to read like a noir bowel movement? Like sort of a character-driven...
It was a dark and shitty night.
Yeah. Okay, no, good.
Of all stalls she had to walk into world. Mine.
But yeah, like,
and also, what the fuck are you doing in my stall?
Oh, my God, no. He's just got a handle on everything I want to read. Like, he and Greg Rucka can do no wrong in my eyes.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They really, like... Velvet is fantastic.
Very good.
Fatale, which just finished, is great.
Very good.
Why am I not remembering Greg's book right now? I know it begins with an L.
Lazarus.
Lazarus, thank you. I almost said Logan for some reason, but Lazarus.
He's doing a couple. Isn't he doing a Marvel book, too? Oh, he's doing the Cyclops book, or maybe he just left that.
I think
book.
He just left. He's going to do one of the Convergence books as well.
Oh, right.
But
Good
question. Yeah. And Huntress and stuff. But, like, those two guys, like, whenever they just, whether they work together or separately, like, anything they write is just an instant pull for me. And this is,
Well, Sean Phillips on this is, I mean, when they team up, that's also amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible. Like, and I have a big thing for, like, LA Confidential and James Ellroy's books. Like, I lived in LA for 2 months. And I just burned through all those books. And, like, those are just...
So you moved to L.A. and read books the whole time?
You left. You're like, well, there's no more books about L.A. Yeah. I might as well move out of here.
He's got to write more for me to stay. Nope. Yeah. Okay, got it.
I really enjoyed Hollywood.
No, like, you know, I lived out there for a little bit doing acting and writing and stuff like that and didn't work out. But and then I moved to Seattle, which was great.
Out, yeah.
And that worked out great. And now here I am. But... But yeah, so like I read a lot of Elroy's books, and this is just like a James Ellroy kind of like wheelhouse.
If you guys aren't reading it, it's set in like the Hollywood studio system. A starlet about to have her big break dies, and she her murderer and the writer is one of the main characters, and all the other studio people, the head of security, the ingenue that replaces her, and it's just a thrilling combination of writer and artist. Like it's.
Yeah, those two. And this one has is about the one that the girl that replaces the one that was murdered.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just all of her like preconceived notions or you know her fears, her doubts and stuff. It's really really good.
It's very good. Yeah. And do not read this on the subway.
Yeah,
though,
I was just going to say that.
Cuz that's what I was doing and boy are there's a lot of breasts in it.
Yeah.
So you will get a sideways glance.
It's funny because it's like I read any other comic, but it's always the one that I open on the subway that's got boobs in it, and it's why.
And the awkward thing is, like, there's one page where it's just like the studio people talking, and all of a sudden you turn the page and it's all breasts.
Yeah.
So it was a surprise. I mean, it was nice. It's a good part of the story, but it really took the woman sitting next to me for a real loop.
Yeah.
I think. And
see,
she's
now
like,
you
oh,
gotta
this is a real pervert
story.
Huh?
Now you got to tell that story. What did she say anything to you?
No. It was more like looking at me because we were jammed in. And it was like sort of, it was like,
was
why are we sitting so close? And I was like, don't worry, I'm going to lean forward and read this comic because I was trying to make space for her. But it gave her every opportunity to look at the porno comic I'm reading.
Yeah.
She thinks, and now she thinks I'm a weird perv. And I'll tell you what, I commute at the same time every day, so I'm probably going to see her.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there was a guy on the subway here, I want to say last week, that rode the subway drunk and naked. And no one bats an eye until you read Fade Out.
Right. Yeah.
I find that to be garbage.
See, that guy's fully committed. That woman sees him come on the train. She's like, I get him. I sit down like, look at this regular guy.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, there are perverts everywhere.
Yeah.
What are we even doing? So thank you, Ed, for having the surprise breasts in your comic.
Yeah.
You really made my commute that much more difficult. And that's it for the stack, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to move on to our favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions.
Yeah, you got to go around this.
And for that, you're going to turn over to me. I'm going to come out. Raise your hand. You can ask a question about anything we've talked about, anything in your life, our lives, comic books, movies, television. Yes, you, sir. Please come on down. Everyone else, think of a question and raise your hand in a minute. Please, sir, tell us your name.
Hey, my name's Rolando.
Hi, Rolando.
Hi, Rolando.
Great. What's your question?
Yeah, my question is, if you could cancel any book that's currently in print, currently, and you have to give your argument for it, but what would it book? One book currently in print.
One book. What an inherently negative question. Who do we want to put out of work?
That's a hard question to answer. I mean,
yeah, it's tough. Yeah. It's tough.
Here's why that's a hard question to answer. And I know this sounds diplomatic, but I know that if someone were to ask somebody else this question and they said, well, Vito's book or whatever, you know, here's why this is going to sound diplomatic. Your least favorite book is probably someone's favorite book.
No.
That's... done.
That's inherently Pete to believe.
I don't want to even say anything else. That's perfect.
So you're saying your answer is no book?
I don't know that... every book I read, I love. So I can't... I can't think of anything I would...
Every book you read?
That's why they're on my pull list. I have a dedicated pull list.
You've never been like, oh, man, this book has been so good, and there's that one issue that's like, what the fuck, guys?
Oh.
Why would you do this?
You know what? Come back to me. I'll probably come up with one.
Okay, great.
But yeah.
Pete, you're filled with bile. What books would you cancel?
Just one.
Just one. Or you can talk about two and then decide one at the end of it.
Okay, all right. Story. So a couple talking points then. anything Cyclops is in would get canceled.
What? Yeah. That's such a weird target.
Because I hate Cyclops so much, he ruins every book he's in.
He's an inherent part of the X.
Yeah, and unfortunately, right now, they changed Deadpool from being amazing to being shitty. So that's really upsetting right now.
Wow, a lot of targets here.
But I'm probably going to have to say a book... and then this just is temporary cancellation of I'm canceling Spider-Man.
Amazing
really?
Spider-Man or like Superior Foes? Like which?
He means the person Spider-Man. You're
yeah,
canceling?
Yeah, I'm canceling him.
Is it because his costume's too tight? Like Vito was saying.
Yeah, I get him confused with Daredevil all the time. It's really hard to keep straight.
Classic, because they're both wearing red.
Yeah.
Why would you cancel that book? It's on a great storyline that is full of potential. Everyone loves it.
Well, yeah, I mean, but it's also like. Doing a lot of things that suck right now. I mean, right now, like, the Spider-Verse brings back a lot of painful memories.
Of when you were...
Horse riding?
Spider-Man.
Yeah, horse riding. All horse riding.
Great guess. That's a great guess.
Yeah, yeah. Touche, sir.
Because you did cling to the bottom of that horse like a Spider-Man.
Like a spider,
like
I was.
A spider.
Yeah, I had no powers, so yeah, I couldn't exactly. cling, yeah.
Peter sense tingling. This horse is going to fuck me over in a minute.
Yeah. yeah,
Spider-Man.
So, Spider-Man. Yeah.
Wow. Great. Mm-hmm. Only one of the most popular books and characters of all time. Vito, do you have?
I'm still racking my brain. Like, I really do enjoy all the books I read. I just, if I don't like it, I'm not going to read it. So I don't
smart.
Know what's out there.
It's very diplomatic.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what's out there. I stopped reading Batman for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, and I went about eight issues into Zero Year. So I mean, I was reading it for a while, and then.
You effectively canceled it.
I stopped reading it. But, now, I mean, yeah, I canceled it for me, you know, I guess. Yeah. But now, you know, you got the mid-season pickup. That's TV great. Lingo.
Yeah, nice. I guess I think my pick would be the Justice League. I feel like that book is sort of in a spiral. Huh? What are you? Well, the main one. Huh? Yeah, exactly. I'm going to be using it. The Justice League is a title.
No,
that's what I'm saying, yeah. So that Justice League, because it's a book that should be the flagship title for the DC Comics line. And it's not. And it's just not. It should be better. Take it back. Reinvent. Put together that Gorilla Grodd Starman team that James Robinson had from years ago. Just kidding. That would be crazy.
Oh, my God. Cry for justice.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's what we want to see again.
Oh, my Lord. I'm sweating.
Everyone's forgotten that.
I'm so nervous that Arrow is going to turn into that.
Arrow the comic?
No, the
Arrow the TV show.
Yeah.
Oh, Pete, it's not time to talk about Arrow. You'll have your 45 minutes later on tonight. Rolando, please raise your hand and people bring you some comics. And who else has a question? You, sir, in the front row.
Hello. Pablo.
Hi, Pablo.
Hello, Pete. Hello, Vito.
Hello.
If you could watch one TV show, what would you watch and why?
Well, fortunately, with the technology we have today, we can watch as many as we want.
No. No,
but you're saying if we only could watch one.
If you can only watch one.
Currently airing television show. Doesn't matter.
Oh, so it could be a golden oldie.
No, he's saying a currently airing, like a now television. Let's live in the now. Like,
right,
you don't need to say MASH, because, like, what does that mean?
It's a great fucking show, you son of a bitch.
It's a great show. No one would say it's not, but for God's sakes, how often are you watching MASH?
Well, it depends on when you come over.
Okay, cool. Wow. What a lifestyle. Watching Vietnam-era comedy.
Yep.
In your,
that was Korea, by the way.
Huh? Oh, you're right, Korea. Jesus Christ, I should watch it.
China Beach was Vietnam.
Yeah.
It was Vietnam era, though.
Yes.
Current television show, like, we could stick to, I mean, obviously Two Broke Girls would be high on the list.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We could throw that out there. But do you mean a comic book show?
Any kind of show.
Any kind of show. Great. The door is open.
I really, really enjoy Modern Family.
Yeah.
And that's something that I came in on late. So, I find myself just seriously searching for it every night. Like, somebody's got to be playing repeats, and there's, like, USA or Channel 5 or whatever. I'm constantly looking for that show because I'm trying to catch up. It's not on Netflix. It's not on... I think it's on Hulu, probably, but, you know... That show is great.
Vito, we don't hang out a ton.
No.
But I bet you I can tell you an answer that you wish you just said.
Okay.
The Serial podcast.
Yes. But that's not a TV show.
Yeah, I know, but you could just listen to it in the dark.
Oh.
With your TV on.
Anybody else besides... anybody listening to Serial, the podcast... Please start.
Wow, no one is, really?
Oh, jeez.
Get out there. Not to talk about other podcasts on this podcast, but for God's sakes, listen to this other podcast.
Oh, my goodness. Like, I don't want to derail too much, but, man, how much do you vacillate between whether Adnan's innocent or guilty? Like, in one episode?
Yeah, nobody knows. Well, no one here has seen it, so we'll talk about it another time.
Or listened.
Listen to it. Pete, what do you say? Television show you would watch if you could had to choose for one.
It's tough because it's like we have a lot of great television right now. Currently.
Yeah. It's a classic.
We're living in a world where
of riches.
There is a ton of comic book TV shows right now. Okay. I'm proud to be a comic book nerd right now, man. It is fucking awesome.
Finally. You look it.
Yep. I don't know, man. Of all television, I mean, I almost want to say something classic like, you know, The Simpsons, you know, because, like, worst case scenario, there's a lot of shows that sometimes, but, like, I can always watch The Simpsons.
You'd never run out of things to watch either.
Yeah. It's just...
You know. 12 days worth from last count.
Yeah, and recent count. I would say the TV show I'm watching right now that would be the one if they canceled all of them, I would say The Walking Dead right now is just crushing it. It's just very good. It's Sunday night's a hard night to be on television, and it's just amazing.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, when did that happen?
Yeah, The Walking Dead, everyone's surprised. People are panicking.
Well, I mean, it was Sopranos, I think, at one point was Sunday night.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about Sunday night being
Sunday night being the night of TV, yeah. Like,
yeah, I know. I mean, come on. The Affair is on right now.
What?
I am watching that. It's actually very good. It's good. Yeah, I like it. I mean, a lot of people don't like it, but it's good.
What comic book hero is in that or villain?
On The Affair?
Yeah.
I don't know. Relationships.
Oh, boy.
The comic book hero that we all truly love. When you get down to it. Great. Who has another question? Just raise your hand.
Oh,
you,
man,
sir,
we got a lot of
questions. You, sir, in the back. Mr. Coat. Mr. Where's his turtleneck?
Why?
Hi. Vito, you mentioned earlier that it helped you a lot that... Thanks, Justin.
Yeah.
By
the way, I think you look sharp in that.
Hey, thanks, Pete.
Yeah.
I like your recently cleaned slippers.
Yeah, thank you. I did clean them.
I could tell, yeah.
Yeah.
Vito, you mentioned earlier that you found storytelling in your own book to be easier because all the DC Comics pre-established archetypes. I was wondering if you ever felt limited by that in terms of what you can do with storytelling. And to open the question up to everyone, do you guys think that the dominance of like major publisher character archetypes helps or hurts with comic book storytelling?
Ooh.
I mean, that's a classic turtleneck question. There's a lot of information there. A lot of information to parse.
Who
there.
Let the TA in?
Yeah.
No, I'm
kidding. Oh, slam.
No.
Thank you for your question. Don't let...
No, no, no,
for God's sake,
great.
Please.
I don't... I've never tried to do it in a sense that it would be limited, you know, and I'm not trying to avoid the question, but you can't use them... you can't be too overt with it. You know, like, just a quick you know, wink and a nod, like, and then you're done, you know, like, and then you're out. It's literally four pages in the first issue, you know, and then you just go on, and then there's 20 other pages where now you're learning what everyone's story is. You can do, I'm trying to think of some, I mean, Invincible probably does it better, where it's, you know, a constant thing where you're like, oh, that's the Batman character. His name's Darkwing, I think, or Dark.
Darkwing Duck, yeah.
Yeah, something like
Darkwing
that.
Darkwing Duck.
But I love Darkwing Duck, too, so. But, gotcha. But, you know, Invincible built a world on it, you know, and you can do it, obviously, for 100-something issues, and no one will call you out on it too much. But I feel like, for me, like, using it so overtly takes away from what the story is, because then you're distracted by colors. You know, you're distracted by, well, if that's Superman, why isn't he wearing a cape? Or, you know, if that's supposed to be Batman, why isn't he living in a cape? You know, all these little things, you know. You just want there to be just enough nod and a reference to it, and then just kind of go on from there.
Yeah, I mean, because along the lines of what you're saying, like, comics would repeat themselves every, like, they would have, like, recap, like, things are like, well, yes, my good friend Captain America, you are correct. We do have to stop the bad guys. You know what I mean? Like, we had to keep doing that. So it's come a long way, and it's definitely been able to kind of have a quick shorthand with what's going on, which is nice.
Yeah.
And we can get to more different stuff that way.
Do you know what's the toughest character to kind of emulate? It's Captain America. Because patriotic characters come off as corny.
Right.
Or they come off as maybe too heroic or something, you know, where they'll be able to solve any mystery, any crime, whatever, you know, really quickly, because you have this ideal of what a patriotic character is supposed to be. And not to mention, you can't name anybody Captain America anymore. That perfect name, you know, like, it's just, that is just, yeah, to the point where it's
well,
almost,
he earned the title, Captain.
Right, right.
He was just America.
Private America.
Yeah.
Sergeant. You know, but, you know,
Gunnery Sergeant America.
The only one that comes close is the comedian in Watchmen. But he's not called anything overly patriotic, but that's what his role is, you know, in that story. So you can use that kind of pastiche. I just find it, I almost don't want to touch patriotic characters, because they're really, like, you can only get away with so much of the reference to all the other great ones, you know?
Yeah.
I also like Captain America because it can be sarcastic, too. It's like, you can be like, oh, man, Captain America, and they can be like, Captain America over here. It's great. Works both ways.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Did I answer
I don't know
the
what
question? I'm not sure.
How many heroes are like Captain America over here? You don't see other Avengers giving them the old thumb to the side very often.
I'm sure Iron Man
we have
does.
Time for maybe one or two more quick questions. You, sir, in the middle.
I have a two-part question.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
And it's been so serious, so I want to take this down. First of all, I want to know where you got your T-shirt, because I can't stop staring at it, and I want that T-shirt. And
that's part one.
Then I want to ask, what is your favorite dinosaurs? Dinosaur, one. Just one each.
Yeah, everyone only wants to pick one thing on these in this question and answer session. This shirt, I actually bought at a con. It's a Walt Simonson T-Rex, which is very cool. It's a great shirt. Every time I wear it, people are like, that's a cool shirt. And not even comic book people. I don't know if you could still get it. I did buy it on the floor at, I think, San Diego, like, two or three years ago. Favorite dinosaur? I mean, got to go with Ankylosaurus. That dude's a tank.
You have to go with that?
Of course.
You have to.
I have my favorite dinosaur queued up at all times.
Wow.
Ichthyosaurus, the dolphin with sharp teeth, also a great dinosaur.
What? That is not a great dinosaur.
A great dinosaur. It's a terrifying dolphin. It's probably smart, but it can eat you.
Yeah, but a dolphin is not like a great dinosaur.
A dolphin's a great animal, but this dinosaur had
dolphins
teeth.
Are rapey. No, dolphins are not great animals.
They're not known. They're just having fun.
Whoa, okay.
They're not.
I'm not
going to
go near that.
Also, Archaeopteryx, great bird, half bird, half dinosaur. That dude flew around and looked like the Phoenix.
Wow.
Those are my threes.
I didn't know that one.
I kind of want to sit here and watch Mommy and Daddy fight.
We'll do it all night. Do you have a favorite dinosaur?
I really, you know, it's corny, but I always like the Tyrannosaurus Rex, just because it's called don't people call it a thunder lizard? Or isn't that what Tyrannosaurus
Rex,
means?
Baby.
Oh, that's what dinosaur means. Oh, okay, but I know that Rex is king, you know, but I don't know, like, it seems so it seems to embody what a dinosaur is. I mean, yeah. There's brachiosaurs and there's, you know, pterodactyls and, you know, pteranodons and stuff, you know, but I don't know, like...
What about those tiny arms, though?
Yeah, that's a...
T-Rex, they got hamster hands.
But that mouth...
Yeah. What's the one that has, like, a mace on its tail? Like
that's the ankylosaurus, so don't take my fucking answer.
Well, I didn't know what that fucking was when you said it.
Yeah, I know. Well, why don't you do a little bit of life research and learn about stuff?
Oh, my God.
It was like
I'm sorry, is this, like... Is this a science show or is this like a comic book show here?
I don't know. It's a dinosaur show right now. Why don't you get on board?
So fuck you for questioning my knowledge.
So is that your favorite?
I do like that one, but now that you picked it, I got to pick something else.
Okay, cool.
So I'm going to go with a pterodactyl because as a kid, I had a sweet pterodactyl toy that also like flew.
Oh, yeah.
So
it also flew?
Yeah. It was like it's had really good wingspan. So like I got it at the museum and it was great because I could like hit my brother from across the room with it.
I knew. I was waiting for the way you got to be mean about it.
Yeah, yep.
And that's it for your audience question. Yeah.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you guys so much. Now we're going to turn it over to the Week in Geek. Very quickly, we're going to talk about a couple of things in entertainment that we haven't already touched on. Who's watching Gotham?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Last couple of weeks, we've talked about how Gotham has been getting better.
Right. What did you think of this last episode?
The last episode, we have a bomb maker, and we have the introduction of Harvey Dent.
Right. That was amazing.
We've got Selina Kyle moving into Wayne Manor with some potential kissing.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you excited about kids kissing?
Well, I'm excited about those two kissing.
Oh, okay. Well.
I did like that move. I thought it was cool. And also like how Selina was like, Bruce, you got to get outside, man. You got to get on the streets and fight dirty. I thought that was good advice for him.
He's got to get on the streets?
Yeah, he's too preppy right now.
Rather than jumping into the pool with all his clothes on?
Yeah, exactly.
You're right about that.
But I didn't like the move at the end with Barbara. I was, like, a little disappointed in that.
Because they're...
She left Jim to go have an affair with the cop lady that she hooked up
Montoya?
With before.
Renee Montoya.
Yeah, I was a little upset about that. I was like, come on, Barbara. Just because things are tough right now, you don't just run away. I mean, you know...
Especially don't... Don't shit where you eat. She went right back with another cop. That's a risky maneuver.
That's a good one.
She's got a thing for cops, apparently.
My biggest, and it is getting better, but my biggest criticism of the show is it moves entirely too fast. I'm convinced that the end of the season is going to have the bat come into the window with the kid instead of Bruce Wayne, who's tried to figure out a way to fight crime, and he's just exhausted, and he's, you know, if I ring this bell... You know, Alfred will come and bandage the wounds and all that stuff. Like, that's what I hope it's leading to. But it's going to lead to it with a kid. And I can see where the arc would go, where the kid's like, okay, I'll become a bat. And that's how he starts his training. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't work for me, like, in that respect. I really want it to be... But
slow.
It's still
I mean,
the
good
show.
News is, yeah, your only criticism is something that might happen. So
right,
that's
right.
Good.
Well, but I mean, I got to say, I mean, the thing is, this show, when they wrote or planned the season, they were in a blind panic hoping they would have a television show. So, of course, they're going to throw everything they can at the wall. So I feel like it might go that way, but I think then second season they can slow down a little bit.
Someone came up with the idea that, second season it'll be a time jump. Which kind of works for me, but I really don't want to see that.
But I feel
this kid is a great Bruce Wayne.
Yeah,
great Bruce.
I mean, Bruce, really Alfred, Gordon's getting better every week.
Dude, I can't get enough of Gordon kicking the shit out of people. It is awesome.
Yeah, he's a great dude. Alfred's a little bit of a dick.
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of worth it.
Yeah, I'm just surprised. Like, and then when he's so in this episode, Alfred's sort of a jerk through the whole season. In this episode, Bruce and Selina Kyle are throwing, like, rolls at each other. And he walks in and he's like, kids. And it was like the nicest he was. Yeah. But it was very, like, a commercial for bread or something, which I thought was very strange.
Yeah, Mentos commercial.
Seriously,
yeah,
you guys should buy more rolls, you know, because
yeah, I
great.
Know. I had four rolls for dinner tonight. Carbo loading.
I would like to say, like, Jada Pinkett Smith has really grown on me. At first, I really thought she was over the top in the beginning, but now I'm really liking her in the
you've
show.
You've always been a Fish Mooney fan from way back in the comics.
There was no Fish Mooney in the comics.
It was a test. He nailed it. Yeah.
He nailed it. What does he get?
No self-respecting comic book writer would call their character Fish Mooney.
Right.
I mean, come on. There's a lot of horrible names in comics.
Right. I know.
Matches Malone.
That's a great name.
That is a great name.
He's got a match in his mouth all the time.
Yeah. I mean, there was a character named, like, Potato, Joe Potato. This is a true story. He was a DC Comics character, was in Detective Comics. He was, I think, like a... either on the force.
Was he Earth 32?
No, he was post-crisis.
Joe Potato.
Pre-Infinite Crisis and all that stuff. But yeah, Joe Potato, he's the worst.
Nice. I do want to know more about him.
I'm going to go home and look up Joe Potato, there's no question.
So let's move on and talk about The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Obviously, I was just going to bat for it because it's a great show. And this is sort of Carol's episode.
Yep.
We see her and Daryl palling around Atlanta.
As you do.
At Hot Atlanta, just like looking for fun in all the wrong places.
Right.
Great episode, I thought. It was nice we get to see... the guy, Noah, is that his name? From the Beth episode, who escaped. Get to see him again, and he's like, seems like a villain, but maybe he's going to be a friend. Yeah. We're building up. There's only two more episodes left in this half season. Love where it's going. Yeah. What do you guys think of the sort of Lost Ian flashbacks we've been getting these past few episodes, where we get to see our characters going through their...
I don't know. I mean, I feel like right now we're focusing on one character. And, like, I have been loving the shows, but I don't know if I can go a whole Beth episode, but I did, and it was great. And then the Carol episode, I was like, oh, man, I hope it's, like, all Carol Rambo styles, like her just going to different places, fucking shit up when she was kicked out. But it was, like, a lot of her crying in the car, which was sad.
Well, she has emotions.
Yeah, I know.
There's only one Rambo.
I will cop to the fact that I stopped watching Walking Dead.
Wow.
What?
And I'll tell you why. It's because I don't have a reason. No, I know. I got behind.
Yeah.
And I could never catch up.
Right.
That's one part of it. The other part of it was I couldn't find anybody to cheer for.
Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty show.
It's hard
Michonne's
to root for
a great
somebody.
Person. What's that? Michonne?
Yeah, she's great. And, I mean, like, you want to root for Rick. But sometimes, like, you know, like in the comics, it's a different story because Rick is easy to cheer for.
Yeah.
In the TV show, everyone's kind of hard to cheer. Like, Michonne's the one exception. But, like, it's hard to, I don't know, like, there's no redeeming. You almost want the zombies to win.
You're rooting for the zombies?
Almost. You know, like, there's no one to root for. Like,
that is
crazy. The zombies are the ones that you really have the heart.
Yes.
When you think about it. Actually, that's what I think they're doing really well this season is they're trying to get back, put us with the characters a little bit more. Like this episode, sort of walk with Carol through her time, and it was really nice.
Is it just me? I'm like, come on, let's like have them, her and Daryl get back together already. Like, what the fuck?
No, I mean, it might happen. They held hands and went on a cool car ride.
But I mean,
cool car.
When they were in that one like bunk bed scene, I was like, "All right, here we go."
Wait, you would have been cool with if they just like bedded down and got into it right then?
Why not, man? It's a fucking zombie apocalypse. You get 5 minutes to yourself. You're with the girl you like. Why not?
I mean, you're right. I feel that way about regular Earth.
So I agree with you.
Good advice.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for your week in Geek.
Oh no, we got to talk about Arrow. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
You're right.
And Flash,
We did leave a certain allotted amount of time to talk about Arrow.
Great. Good. Yeah, and Flash is amazing,
Flash is
too.
Very good. Looking forward to the Clock King episode, which is airing literally right now.
Yeah. So Flash and Arrow have been amazing, but Arrow recently...
I mean, that's all the time we have for Pete's Arrow Corner.
Unbelievable.
Let's move on and turn it over to Trivia starring our Arrow, Pete LePage.
All right, guys, this is part we get back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win 25 free dollars in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics, because if you had 25 bucks, you would go to Midtown Comics. Who would like 25 free dollars? Simple raising of the hand. Yes, you first hand up, guy. Come on up. Guys, give him a round of applause for raising his hand. He did it. Nobody else did, but he did. All right, we need a microphone. Whoa, hey, where are you going, guy? Where are you going, guy?
He wants to sit,
down
sit
right at the table. Just sitting right down like he's a guest on the show.
This is my first time here.
That's all right. It's cool, man. Welcome. What is your name?
Alex.
Alex, audience Alex. Hey, he's the new Alex. Yay. All right. So.
Finally, we got a new Alex. It's
yeah,
great.
This
congratulations.
Is great.
No wonder he wanted to sit down up here.
Cool. So how this is going to work is I'm going to ask you a question. You listen to all three possible answers, get all three questions right, and you will win the $25 gift card. As long as you read every comic that came out this week, you'll be fine. All right? So here we go. Question number one. In Lobo number two, we get to meet blank. Is it A, his new team, B, his new enemy, or C, his new makeover artist, because Pirate Chic is so in right now? So is it A, his new team, because when you think of Lobo, you think about the team that he's with, or is it B, his new enemy, which I wish was true, but it's not, because they're actually putting him on a team, and it's kind of bullshit right now. So is it A, which is the only one that could really work for the correct answer, or would you pick B, and then you would be wrong? A is correct, Alex. Congratulations. Here we go. Question number two. Please excuse my pronunciation. And Usagi Yojimbo, Senso number four. I know. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's an amazing comic, and that's not going to stop me. We have a retelling of what Tom Cruise movie? Is it A, Top Gun, B, War of the Worlds, or is it C, Legend Still Freaks Me Out? I mean, that movie is fucking creepy. So it's either A, Top Gun, which doesn't make sense, or it's B, War of the Worlds.
B
is correct, Alex. Nice job. All right. Last question. One more and we're done. In Ghost number 9, this comic is labeled as what? Is it A, a new starting point, B, a new scary point, or is it C, points? My Chris Hardwick. Yeah, nice. All right. So it's A new starting point, and that makes sense. You know, they always say, like, oh, this is a good jumping on point, so you would want to pick
A. So A.
Yeah, $25 for Eric. Alex, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you for
great
coming
job
up, sir. Sorry for berating you in front of these people.
No, I think you really got to usher him through trivia. All right, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day, and we recommend you go down to Midtown Comics, as they have been nice enough to sponsor this very show.
Yep.
Pete, what are you looking forward to of tomorrow's comics?
Well, obviously, I'm looking forward to Punisher number 12, because it fucking is unbelievable.
Yep, no one would doubt that.
But I'm also interested, I'm intrigued with the Wonder Woman number 36. We got a new team on there.
Ah, you're going to give it a try.
Wonder Woman has been one of my favorite books in DC. So I'm interested to see if they can keep it going or if it's going to shit the bed.
Oh, great. That's great words to live by. I'm looking forward to Daredevil number 10 heading toward, I believe, the last arc for this current team, Mark Waid and Chris Samnee. Very excited to see, I believe, the Owl is coming back. It's going to be an exciting, terrifying journey. Vito, what are you looking forward to?
Tomorrow is Grant Morrison Day for me, because not only is Annihilation coming out, but Multiversity Pax Americana. One of the most... Did you see the preview for this book? God damn. That is the most beautiful artwork ever. And it's this weird eight-panel grid thing. It's Frank Quitely. It's the Charlton characters. It's Ted Kord Blue Beetle.
Yeah, I mean, that is exciting.
Buy it.
Okay, whoa. Wow, man. Vito turning on us here.
No, I can't wait for that book.
Yeah, it's going to be very good. And plug some of your stuff as well.
Oh, well, you can, again, order Stray November 14, 0915 for the Mike Norton cover, November 14, 0916 for the Kari Randolph cover. Issue 2 is out in February. Issue 3, it's 4 months straight. There will be a Action Lab crossover with Stray, Molly Danger from Jamal Igel,
yeah,
and Midnight Tiger from
Jamal
Ray Anthony Igel's Height. We're probably looking at around this time next year, maybe a little bit earlier, for that to happen. Also, I did a story with Dean Haspel in the Garbage Pail Kids special coming out
last
month. That's a lot of fun.
Garbage Pail Kids.
And, yeah, you can catch up with me on Twitter, at Incogvito. My website is incogvito.com. Facebook is facebook.com/incogvito. Basically, if you can spell incogvito, you can find me.
Nice. And, man, way to own your brand, for God's sakes. That's what you got to do. All right, Pete, tell us some stuff.
All right, friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show. Also, follow our announcer, Kenny, at Kenny Farmer Art.
Nice. At Kenny Farmer Art. Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a show. A couple people want to thank for doing it. Mr. Vito Del Sante.
Yeah.
Check out his stuff. All of our interns, please check us out. Subscribe on
Spidey
iTunes.
Spidey616 is one of our...
Yep, Spidey616 here in the house, one of our great interns. We do this show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. down here at Fontana's in New York City. Please join us. Tell your friends. Good night, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. You.